Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So have you ever pondered how often we just get in our own way? And if you're honest, how many times a day would you say that your mind goes to thoughts that weaken you, that maybe diminish others, that even diminish God? Well, this is a big statement, but I stand by it. We'll never be free without a renewed mind, and we'll never accomplish all God has for us unless we're willing to change the way we think. My friend Jenny Allen shares this passion. She's got a brand new book out titled Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. I'm so grateful to Waterbrook. We've got 5 copies to give away. You know the drill if you listen often enough, but if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, first of all, welcome to the family. If you want a listener packet, a new welcome listener packet, we would love to send one to you. You have to request that. We don't automatically send those out. Just ask for one on our website, myfaithradio.com. But since you're new, I just want to tell you how we do this. We give resources away on the show every single day. We're very committed to that. But because of that, we need a little help. So you text the word book to 877-933-2484. It'll kick back a response. And that little auto response, just it takes you about a minute. You click on the link, you fill it out. The reason we do it that way is because we actually don't have the manpower to manually enter every address that we receive on every live show that we do. So if you'll work with us a little bit, we'll be able to keep giving great resources like Jenny's book out today. So here again, text the word book to 877-933-2484. This is an excellent book. We'll get her on in a minute. But first, I got to just share with you, I'm so excited to share that Faith Radio and our friends at Shoeless Shoes, we're so proud to present a night of encouragement and inspiration. Hope you'll join us on campus for a live audience event with our good friend, Dr. Troy, who joins me every single month to talk about health and the healing process. We're going to talk about love's power to heal. We're going to enjoy some wonderful desserts, have a time of worship, do some giveaways, take audience questions, and then record a show. Tickets are free, but seating is limited, so come ready, but you've got to get the ticket first, okay? The information is on our website, myfaithradio.com, but it's on February 13th, so mark your calendar. Please join us. It's going to be a great night. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jenny Allen is a best-selling author and the founder and visionary for the IF Gathering. She's a passionate leader following God's call in her life to catalyze a generation of women to live what they believe. She has a master's in biblical studies from Dallas Theological Seminary. She lives in Austin, Texas with her amazing husband, Zach, and their 4 children, and we love her. Jenny, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Susie.
Absolutely. Talk to me about Scripture. Is there a verse you've been pondering these days you can share with us?
Sure. So this morning, I was in Romans 8:37. And it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it has just comforted me so much. And the context of Romans 8 is that there's, you know, it says right before that, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. So, you know, there's just a lot of difficulty around all of us, and seeing just how severe and passionate and unthwarted the love of God is in our life is just so secure for me. I just exhale. So
amen.
I loved those verses fresh today.
Doesn't it just help you, too, when you read some of Paul's words about, you know, we're regarded as nothing, even though we're something. We're maligned, but we respond graciously. We're treated as though we're everything that the world would disregard, but God, you know, sees us. That's my terrible paraphrase. But the idea of all the stuff that would come at him, and he'd respond graciously, humbly, and leave his defense to God. Mm-hmm. It should be great encouragement for those of us who are, you know, standing in the gap day after day.
Yes. There's such a peace in it because our hope is not everything working out today. You know, like
exactly.
I think that's the perspective we have to keep, but it is going to work out. And I think that faith and hope is just, it's a better more secure hope because it's going to be forever.
Amen. Amen. Well, you opened the book with a story about a morning that you intended to meet with God, and then you received an email, and then you saw an Instagram post. I loved it. So tell us about that morning and then what happened.
Yeah, that never happens.
Yeah.
you know, that morning specifically, I still vividly remember it. I was actually working on this message and on the book, I should have known better, but I got distracted naturally with a million little things that morning. And I usually try to keep my phone in a separate room, but that, you know, that night for whatever reason, it was next to my bed. And so I get on the phone, I start, you know, scrolling Instagram. I start the comparison game with some things because I'd also gotten an email that was editing for the work that I was working on and, you know, critical and trying to make it better. But I took it as that day specifically, just why am I even doing this? Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm heading into my day very negative, and my husband walks in, and he had been downstairs meeting with Jesus where I should have been. And he's just like, good morning. And he's in the best mood. And now my emotions are all over the place and I'm short with him. And I don't even remember what I said, but he just, you know, he was just surprised. And now I'm in a, you know, funk with him. So quickly from picking up my phone instead of my Bible, it went from, you know, this just a minor little thought that moved into my emotional state for the day and heading into the day that moved into my relationships, right? And all of that was within 10 to 15 minutes. And so it's just recognizing that how we think affects how we feel, and how we feel affects how we behave, and how we behave affects how we relate to people we love. And so it's a cycle that can spin out really fast.
Yeah. We're all only about 5 minutes away from the ditch if we're not careful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So when did you know, I mean, this is a battle for everybody. Anybody who says it isn't is either deceived or they're not being honest, because it just is. The scripture talks about that. But when did you actually know that you needed to write a book about it?
Well, so interestingly enough, this actually started, you know, Susie, I've been in ministry for a long time with women. And so I'm always just, you know, my eyes are always kind of darting back and forth saying, Lord, what is keeping us from the most freedom and impact we can have in our generation? That's my goal, ultimately, is that we would live as free as possible, as connected to Jesus as possible on earth for our days. And we would be woken up, right? Like, there would be nothing causing us to sleep this life, that we would, as a generation, be, you know, high-fiving when we get to heaven because of the work we got to see God do through our lives. And so I'm always, my eyes are darting back and forth saying, God, what is keeping us from the fullest expression of you on earth today? And because I lead a lot of women and I want to lead them well. And so, of course, what happens, it's always usually eyes back at myself. where am I, you know, stumbling through this? But it originally started with, I was waking up because my daughter was studying neuroscience. She was in middle school and high school the last few years, and she just had a passion for, I'd say, 5 or 6 years about the brain, and specifically to do with Alzheimer's. And so she would just send me TED Talks and, you know, articles and all these things. So I was just reading and thinking about thinking a lot. And then at the same time, I'm ministering to so many women, and I'm kind of seeing this pattern of falling back into stuck places in their life. And I'm asking myself, okay, God, why? Why are we continuing to fight the same feelings over and over again? And we're all kind of, you know, falling back into the same sin patterns and behaviors. And what is that thing that's keeping us from that? And I would say, as I started the science of it and understanding the research, I realized, oh my gosh, this is biblical. You know, I was looking at the science and going, this is what the Bible says.
That's right.
But I'm not hearing a lot about it, that we can change our minds. That we, you know, if I tell you, Susie, don't be sad, you know, you're sad today, let's say. And I say, Susie, quit being sad. That just is not effective. It doesn't work. You know, it's a good idea, but it doesn't work. And that's really not where God calls us to transform. He calls us to transform. If you look at Romans, it talks about, you know, that we not be conformed to the world, but we be transformed. How would we be transformed? How would we not live according to the world? By the renewing of our minds. The way, you know, and then he has all this command language around take every thought captive. This is the ability. He doesn't say take every feeling captive. He says take every thought captive. So I realized, gosh, we are spending a lot of time, especially as women, talking about our feelings. But that's not even the place that a power that God's given us power over it. It really starts with our minds. The authority that God's given us, the power he's given us, it is to take our thoughts captive, to think about right things. And that is a place we can change. And science backs that up, and scripture says it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got this blazing passion of maybe we've been working at the wrong areas. Let's go to the base. And the base, and I believe the front lines of the war, is in our minds. And of course, God's going to take me through, you know, or allow me to go through a very, very difficult real season in this, because it was 18 months of a war that I didn't even know I was fighting that ultimately made me this passionate about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to pause here, but I got to read this before break. You write, the greatest spiritual battle of our generation is taking place between our ears. Again and again, we allow lies from the enemy to influence our thoughts about who God is and how he's at work in our lives. But we have the opportunity to stop our spiraling minds and escape toxic thinking patterns. Talking to Jenny Allen today, her book is titled Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. We've got 5 copies. You want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. When we come back, Jenny, I want you to tell the story of when you were speaking and a woman approached you, and it really, that began something that was an incredible battle for you. But really, I always say, you know, scripture says that he gives us treasures stored in secret places. There are spoils from our war, and nothing is wasted on us, and this was not wasted on you. So I'd love for you to tell the battle that you just emerged from and what God taught you in it. More with Jenny Allen in a moment. Play out. Hard truth and ridiculous grace. Isn't that amazing? Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. You're fully known, you're fully loved, and overwhelming victory belongs to us. But in that transformation process, there are hard truths that we need to reckon with, wrestle with, submit to in God's authority. And then there's this abounding, abundant grace that we can swim in as we become the people Christ intended for us to be. I'm talking to Jenny Allen today about her new book, Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. We've got 5 copies to give away. I love giving away books on middays, so just text the word book to 877-933-2484. It'll kick back the link. You can enter the drawing that way. Jenny, in the book, you talk about a time when you went to a speaking event. I think it was in your hometown, if I remember right. And I agree with you as a speaker. I don't like to be left alone. And there's sometimes these moments where everybody's busy and they're not paying attention. And I'm telling you what, that enemy will always bring somebody, it seems, without fail. But what happened in that moment?
Yeah, so it was a lovely woman. I was about to go back up on stage, and she was in line, and the line had died down, and everybody else was going to take their seat. And she just, you know, grabbed me and started talking to me, and she said, quit talking about us. And I was like, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. And every time I would say, I don't know what you're talking about, she would just say, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was very chilling. At the time, I didn't realize what she was saying until I did. And once I did, and she said, we're coming for you. It was very threatening language. So I grabbed the security guard. I said, hey, keep an eye on her. You know, she just made some threats against me and went back on stage. And in that session, heard screaming in the hallway. And while she was screaming and the security guard was with her, thankfully, the electricity in this mega church went completely out. And it was one of those moments that I feel like the devil just overplayed his hand, because I did, you know, I knew. I was like, this is, otherwise, without the electricity in a huge church on a perfectly sunny day, I probably would have just thought, this is a crazy woman, you know, this isn't real. But it just felt like, gosh, what if all this is true? So my husband and I, we started walking through different parts of our lives and just saying, okay, is this, are our finances in good shape, and our, you know, our relationships with our kids in good shape, and how are our kids, and just walking through in our marriage. And we just walked through all these different parts of our lives. And of course we were in a fight at the time, and we were like, no, fight's over. We're good. so it's one of those times where you are taking inventory and you're just going, okay, we are
I got to pause you, Jenny. We're getting so much muffle, and I so want to not miss anything that you're saying. So I don't know if it's where you're positioning the phone, but I don't want to miss a word you have to say. But I love,
okay,
first of all, friends,
better?
That's perfect. Just for those who are listening, one thing Jenny said is just taking inventory of every area of her life. I think that's brilliant when you've come under spiritual attack. So take it from there.
Okay. So when I looked at my life, we didn't see big blazing holes. We were good. But anyway, going home, we were just on alert, and what happened next was not obvious to me. It feels obvious to me now, but it didn't at the time. But I went back home. I really forgot about it. I didn't think much about it. But beginning pretty quickly after that, I started waking up at 3 a.m., which, again, it's happened in my life. I'm a mom, and it's happened in my life before, different seasons. But very regularly at 3 o'clock, I was waking up every night, and I began to have these questions and doubts that eventually turned into fears about if God is real. They were just really subtle little thoughts that I really didn't pay much attention to in the daytime. I didn't think about it much, but I'd be up a good hour at night, sometimes all night, the rest of the night, and I was just having these constant thoughts and fears if is God really real? And that happened pretty consistently every night for about 18 months. Mm. And finally, after, 18 months of going to war and realizing that it was really creeping into the day, like I was starting to have real serious doubts about God. I was starting to be really fearful about death. It was having an impact, as our thoughts always do. And it was a pretty big impact. And so finally I said it out loud, and that began a fight against what I believe was just attack left in my mind alone in the dark with the devil for 18 months.
Mm-hmm. And you had friends because you really were so honest with them going, I really don't know. I mean, you're still doing ministry. You're still on the stage studying scripture so you can bring a message. But inside, there's a spiritual battle going on until one of your friends said, Jenny, this is not who you are. And they gathered together and you three decided to fast for 3 days. That was a turning point in this battle. Say something about that.
Yeah. I mean, let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 because it was such a powerful passage for me in this fight. Because what Paul says, it's where the verse, take every thought captive, is found. But the language that surrounds that verse is so powerful. I'm going to read it real quick. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And then it says right before that, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So what Paul's saying is we're at war and our weapons are not going to be fleshly weapons. They're going to be spiritual weapons. And I had to take the war seriously. I had to realize I'm under attack and I am passively taking it. In the book, I say I was getting beat up in the dark by the devil, and I was fine. I let him do it. And I just, eventually, when I realized it, of course it was war. Of course I fought back. Of course. But for 18 months, I didn't realize it. I didn't say the things out loud because I felt shame necessarily. I didn't say the things out loud because I didn't realize how serious those thoughts were and that those passing thoughts would equal a crisis in my faith months later. So I think what I hope and why I'm so passionate about this is I don't think we're taking our thought life seriously. Number one, I don't believe that we know how much attack we're under, how many lies are being thrown at us all the time, because Jesus is clear. The enemy is a liar. That's who he is. And his native language is lying. John 8, that is who he is. And Jesus is real clear about it. So when we're confused, we need to consider that we're under attack. And what is that? Now, sometimes it's just our own rogue thoughts. The enemy needs to give us no energy. We are just that negative. In fact, if you look at the statistics just of humankind, our thoughts are over 70% negative every single day. Hmm. 70% negative. Now, we're having 9,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. And so that's a lot of negative thoughts. And then if you look at how many of them are repetitive, it's over 80% repetitive from the day before. So we are stuck in repetitive, negative thinking. And sometimes, the devil needs to throw a monkey on that. But we need to recognize that he is a liar and that this is his mode of, of communicating with us. And so we've got to take our thought life seriously. And then number two, my hope is that we would understand we've got to fight that with spiritual weapons. So that season with my friends of prayer and fasting, I believe that was crucial. I don't think that was something extra like, you know, I'm desperate, so I'm going to pray. It was the weapons that God gave me. One, it was confession and community. And two, it was prayer and fasting. And we've got to take the weapons that God's given us, the spiritual weapons, and fight spiritual forces.
There's two things I want to talk about on the other side of the break. We got a couple minutes before that break, but one is how things get hardwired into our brains and how our brains really do respond to our most consistent thought pattern, and that's going to take some hard work. And then two, you were under spiritual attack, and the enemy is real, and we do have a target on our back. And I think at times Christians don't want to talk about the reality of an enemy that isn't just aiming to poke fun at us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And there are times that require the troops to, you know, pull in for us to fast and raise our shields together. I want to know, in that place when you were fasting, when did you get, I mean, because you described this, you kind of skimmed over it quickly as we were talking about it, but in the book you described this 18 months as mental hell because it was a lot of torment in the middle of the night, and to endure that all by yourself would feel like a form of torture in hell. So at what point in that fasting did you feel the table start to turn, glimmers of hope, a fist-sized cloud? How'd that happen?
Let me just say this as clearly. If there's not one other thing people take away from this, let it be this. That what is not said, what is left in the dark, has power over us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say it out loud, because that's the thing we're scared to do, right? For a million different reasons. I didn't want to take up space. I didn't want to make, you know, I have friends, one of my best friends that was recovering from a stroke. I have friends that are dealing with diagnoses of their children, difficult marriages to the point of on the brink of divorce. So saying I'm waking up in the middle of the night and having all these fears and thoughts, it was hard to kind of take up the space for that. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
And yet for me, it was hell. And I think the enemy loves to go unnoticed. He loves to, and the mind is the greatest place for him to go unnoticed, to just quietly, sneakily say whatever he wants. And so we've got to start noticing, and we've got to start saying it out loud. The greatest moment of freedom I had was when I said it out loud. So now that wasn't complete freedom, right? We still had to go to war. There was work to do. But that work began the minute I said it out loud. So when I said it out loud, I was nervous. I was weeping. It was a confrontation nearly because I had responded with tears so dramatically to something. I was in Uganda with some friends, and just a simple little devotional, like, pushed me over the edge. And so my sweet friend Anne was like, "Jenny, why are you crying that hard over that devotional?" And I said, "Because I'm at war." And I told her everything out loud. And the first, right when I said it, I was like, "This sounds ridiculous. Like, why? I do believe God." But she said it for me. She was like, "Jenny, I know you. I've watched your faith. You do believe God. You are not doubting God. Like, this isn't of God. This isn't you. This isn't, you know." And I think that recognition of, oh my gosh, I'm under spiritual attack. Mm-hmm. I should have seen it. I talk about spiritual warfare all the time. I should have seen it. But until I said it out loud and brought it into the light, I think the enemy had covered my eyes. I just think it was, yes, it was hard, but I wasn't analyzing it. You're a crazy person in the middle of the night. Any of us that are up in the middle of the night aren't thinking our best thoughts and being our best.
Gotta pause. So sorry. I'm so sorry. Back in a minute.
Come and lay your burdens down to the place where freedom is found. At the feet of Jesus.
Hope you're having a really great day. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Jenny Ellen. Her new book is titled Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. You've got 5 copies to give away. If you want to enter the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. So good to have you listening today. Before the break, Jenny, so sorry we came up on that hard break. You were talking about the spiritual component, that we have a very real enemy. We take thoughts captive. We pull them down, and we don't wage war as the world does. And you walking through this really difficult time to gather a couple of friends to fast, to pray together, you saw this turning point in the enemy. I want to talk about this. You said we have bought the lie that we are victims of our thoughts rather than warriors equipped to fight on the front lines of the greatest battle of our generation, the battle for our minds. And thinking about that, we're not victims of our thoughts, but we're definitely recipients of our most consistent choices in that regard. And there are times when these destructive thought patterns are actually hardwired into our brain because we've been rehashing for so long that it's easy to think we're at the mercy because we instinctively go to those places, but we're still not at the mercy of those thoughts. So say a word about that if you would.
So I think it's important to know that, yes, we have a choice. Like, that is the interrupting thought that I believe when you think of taking thoughts captive, and we have so many of them, you know, tens of thousands of them, most women, in a day. It's hard to imagine taking tens of thousands of thoughts captive. But to take one thought captive, I have a choice. Like, that is my hope, is that we would start to interrupt our spirals that can go and go and go and realize, you know what, I have a choice. But when you say hardwired, you're actually meaning physically, because the science shows that when we have a thought, we have neurons, and those neurons each have a cell that is like a brain of that cell, and it's called a microtubule. Those microtubules, when we have a thought, it takes about 10 minutes, but they're building a physical little city around that thought. And so when you have lots of the same negative thoughts, it becomes what I like to call a little empire in your brain, that you have an empire in your brain around some negative thoughts that perhaps you've even had for years. And for some of us, those lies begin when we're young, right? Like, these are lies that at some point you can maybe even remember when you believed it first. And they begin to take hold. And that is a very physical thing. Now, that can be very discouraging to people. Or we can use that same science on the flip side. The same way that we've gotten ourselves in these places where our brains are truly toxic, where we've just thought negative thoughts so much, which most of us are, that we don't even notice anymore, we can interrupt it. And in 10 minutes, you can build a different city. That's the hope, is that the science that has been used against us somewhat also is the science and the power that God's Spirit has given us to change and to actually rewire our brain. But we have to notice those thoughts, and we have to interrupt those thoughts. And to me, the very most helpful interrupting thought that I find, you know, useful, and I mean useful probably multiple times every single day, is I have a choice.
Yeah. The neuroplasticity of the brain is a gift straight from God. I mean, we're so fearfully and wonderfully made. And years ago on the show, I interviewed a mom and a daughter that I think the daughter was hit by a drunk driver, but she had incredible traumatic brain injury, barely had her speech, you know, paralyzed side of her face. But her neurosurgeon would constantly look at her and tell her, "You tell your brain what's true. You tell your brain what's true." And she said, "I've watched her just defy the odds as she continues to tell her brain, as a believer in Christ Jesus, telling her brain, these might be the facts, but this is the truth about what Jesus says about me." And we do have choices. We don't even know how much we have choices. I thought this was so interesting, some of the stats you referenced in the book. It's estimated that 60 to 80% of the visits to primary care physicians have a stress-related component. 60 to 80% of visits to primary care doctors have a stress-related component. Research shows that 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life. We don't like to maybe look at that all the time, Jenny, but because we have a part and God has a part. I would love to know, as you know, you have these spirals in the book, because that is what our brains do. We just spiral down right into the ditch. What have been some of the spirals? What have they looked like for you, and how have you overcome them?
Yeah. Well, obviously, the biggest one was that 18-month season of doubt, and I'm glad I got to go through that, because I think it got so dark and horrible, as I write about in the book, but it was helpful because I realized, oh my gosh, even in something that's that ingrained, I saw freedom. But let's be real. On a given day, it's a million small things, right? It's insecurity. It's fear that's keeping you from doing the thing that God's calling you to do either that day or in life. It is realizing guilt and shame over decisions you've made as a parent and thinking, you know, of yourself as a bad mother. That has been a constant one, beginning back with, you know, I didn't make homemade baby food. You know, I look back and now I have college age kids, and that seems silly and small. But I think as mothers, we have this narrative constantly going of, I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it well enough. I'm not a good mom. I'm failing somehow. And that's going to somehow ruin my kids. I think you can see it constantly in ourselves as we walk with God, where we feel shame and we don't believe Romans 8:1, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can see it in your marriage when perhaps you come out of a broken relationship with your dad and you go into marriage and you have really high expectations of your husband and to meet needs for you that he can't meet. And so there's a breakdown when it comes to that. So you see just all of these patterns of thinking and how they've ingrained themselves in our lives and how they're affecting our mobility to do the things that God's called us to do, but also just our joy and our peace and our excitement. So for me, I think every day is a fight, and I think we need to get comfortable with that. You know, in this world, we will have trouble. Jesus promised it. So we're still fighting our flesh. We're still fighting an enemy. We're still fighting, you know, just our sin and the way we've been conditioned to live and think prior to Jesus. So I think we've got to just be honest about that and fight better, not, you know, just think that there's a quick fix. Because just because I do believe, I mean, there's been breakthrough. Like, I am not stuck in that anymore. I see great joy and power in the authority God's given me over the enemy. I'm not scared of the enemy. I don't tremble at that. I just know that there is an ability to change. And I fight for that for myself now every day. And I fight for that for other people.
And you say it's not enough even to interrupt the lie and to interrupt the spiral. We've got to be pondering, embracing, rehearsing the truth. Do you have any kind of go-to verses, go-to kind of redeemed thoughts that you tell your soul, that you remind yourself when you need to?
Yeah, so I think that's really important because I did do a lot of research in the science world and the self-help world in this. And it fell so short for me. Like, forget just being a Christian and knowing the truth that we need, you know, hope that goes beyond this life. It just felt so short because the answer for most of them were just positive thoughts about yourself or positive thoughts about your life. You know, I'm like, gosh, my life is kind of broken. And gosh, I am a sinner and I do fall short. Like, that didn't ever work for me. It didn't ring true. And so what's so powerful about Scripture is it doesn't put hope in ourselves. It doesn't force this false optimism about how awesome we are, which always felt fraudulent to me.
Yeah. Exactly.
What it says is, no, you're valuable. You're valuable enough to God that he would die for you. So it's not that our worth is diminished. It's that our worth is secure, but our worth is secure because of who God says we are. So take God out of the equation, and that's just a hopeless, short life, right? Like, it's just, there's not hope apart from just whatever you can get in life and however much happiness you can find. But what Scripture tells us over and over again is that there is infinite worth. So the three lies that all of us are, you know, have a proclivity to believe, and this is from, you know, science and psychiatry 101, is that I am helpless, I am worthless, I am unlovable. I am helpless, I am worthless, I am unlovable. Now, when one of my friends who's a counselor told me all that, I laughed and I was like, no, I have 100 lies in a day. And she was like, no, you don't. And I was like, yes, I do. And I was going to prove it to her. So I went with one. And of course, at the end of it, it was about my son going to college. I was like, this isn't one of those lies. And then I was afraid he's going to be in prison. And so she goes, so you feel helpless? And I was like, oh, okay, maybe you're right. So I think it's good to know, you know, that there aren't 8 million lies we're believing. There's really just three. And that the Bible has an answer for all three of those. We are unconditionally loved, despite our worst sin that's known by God. We are unconditionally loved. So, and then the next one is so there's a little truth to one of the lies, which good lies always have a little truth, right? That we're helpless. Well, God says, no, yes, there are circumstances you cannot control. But think about the verse I started with this morning, which is, you are more than conquerors. Like, I've put the Spirit of God in you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You have weapons that destroy strongholds, 2 Corinthians. So we are powerful because of the Spirit of God and against the things that are the enemy to God. And then, of course, we are worthless. No, we are worth dying for. So there, you know, the story of the Bible is so powerful because it does answer our scariest thoughts.
Boy, that's good. Good stuff. What a biblical case. I love this. You said self-help can offer only a better version of yourself. Christ is after a whole new you. And this is sort of a side point. I want to make sure, friends, you hear me correctly, but this has also been proven that, you know, the secular world has latched onto the power of positive thinking because they have seen results. In other words, you may have a Christian who's chronically cynical, chronically insecure, chronically fearful, but not fighting that fight. In this world, the positive thinker will fare better. They say they fight illness better. They have better immunities, you know, immune systems and all of that. Of course, in the next world, not so much. So that's why the secular world has latched on, because they've seen some kind of result, but it's a counterfeit. It's so substandard to the actual redeemed, renewed mind. And so for the believer, when we've got the Spirit of God in us, the promises of God over us, the presence, you know, that we have access to, I mean, it's a superpower, isn't it? I mean, it truly changes everything. But it really goes back down to, Jenny, not only his promises, but our activating those things. And you say in the book, this takes work. It takes patience. I mean, this is one of those things you would love to be zapped. Just zap me so I can start thinking. But nobody can jump in your brain and do this for you. There is some work involved. So say something about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I want to speak first to that self-help piece, because I do think as Christians, we do love self-help. And I think we need to be careful and realize the danger in it. And you just said it, is the danger in it is that we would Band-Aid cancer, you know, and, and that's, the cancer is our sin. The cancer is our separation from God. And we've got to, as Christians, not be afraid to say that. If we only give people helpful principles, if we only give people, this is how you live, and we don't point them to the God that built us, that taught us how to live, then we are doing them a terrible, scary disservice, because we're ultimately helping fix their problems without the God that's going to save their soul. So I want to do a little work there. I spent a lot of time in the book even talking about self-help, its origins and where it comes from, because I think we need to, it's not that it's bad and we shouldn't be out there demonizing it. We just need to be really clear about it. Like,
exactly.
This is what it is. And this is the God that takes you there. So what you asked though was, we've got to put work in. Susie, I love interviewing with you, because this is the gold, right? The gold is that we have a part in this. And one of the lies we believe as Christians is God will change me. You know, God will just do it. Well, yes, he will. His power is in you to set you free. That's how you are even in a position to change your mind. But we've got to participate, because we have a free will. So while it's a mystery that God is completely sovereign and has power over all things, he has still given us a free will. And our will has a proclivity to live in its flesh, to, you know, Paul talks about in Romans 7, like, gosh, why do I keep going back to the things I hate? Why do I keep doing this? You know, even Paul did that. So we've got to know there's a proclivity in us to think negative thoughts, to be negative people, to believe lies. And how do we fight it? And it's going to take us treating this very seriously. And that's why there's so much training language around the mind in Scripture. There's so much war language, because it's a very intense practice.
Yeah.
It's not something that passively happens for us.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what I love in the book. He's just say our thoughts have the potential to change the world. And that really, if you think about this, friends, when you start to embrace who God made you to be on the way to who he's making you to be, things change. But when you walk into a room and you assume people are judging you, people don't like you, and you're playing defense and you're insecure, did you know when you have those thoughts often enough, your brain will look for quote unquote facts to back up that thought, to try to prove it true, even if it's a lie? This is why thinking rightly about yourself and about God makes all the difference in the world. Talking to Jenny Allen, her book, Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. Love to get a copy in your hands. Enter the drawing by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Glad you tuned into Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Jenny Allen, who's got a new book out titled Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. Fantastic book. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. The word book, not in quotes, not even with an exclamation point. just the word book. It'll kick back an auto response to you. You can fill out the drawing that way. 877-933-2484. So this is, I'm going to get to this point, this idea that our thoughts can actually change the world. Such a profound thought. In the book, you write about a time when you started the IF gathering and a misunderstanding spiraled into a painful experience for you. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah. So it was, of course it involves a lot of people that I love, and or it wouldn't hurt so bad, right? That's the reality is nobody can get to us more than the people we respect and love. And I think I had stumbled over something publicly that I'd said, and it was taken in the wrong context and felt hurtful to people that I really respect. And it caused a domino effect that really turned kind of somewhat public. And it of course, it broke my heart on so many levels. I mean, it was terrifying to feel called out by people I respect so much publicly. And then second of all, I just privately wanted to please God, and I wanted to please these people because I respected them. And so, you know, I read a book at that time called It is so good, and I want to remember the name. But Tale of Three Kings.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. And it really, it was just ironic. I had picked it up. Nobody had told me what it was about, but the timing couldn't have been better because it was about David not defending himself. And I, of course, that was a message straight from God to me in that moment. And I felt so counterintuitive to not defend myself because it really was based on a misunderstanding of what was done and said. And so it would have been sensical in my own mind to call all of these people and explain what happened. And sometimes there's a place for that, right? But this one had blown up pretty big, and I needed to just put my head down and say I'm sorry. And so that's what I did. I apologized to each person. And what was so cool is in that, what I believe is a supernatural response to something, right? God called me to a very difficult, turn the other cheek, doesn't make sense way, that at that time, what I was doing was, instead of defending myself, which is my typical, very effective nature, I'm very good at it. Excellent. I'm a professional defender of myself. I actually allowed what I believe was the Holy Spirit to work. And there was power through those conversations. And a lot of those people are some of my dearest friends today. I mean, that was many years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. But I still believe that what we've got to do is choose what 2 Corinthians says, which is we can't fight flesh with flesh. We've got to depend. If God's real, which he is, if God is real, then how are we going to live? And it is with the supernatural ways that God's called us to live.
The reason I brought that up is because I want to just progress here a little bit. Things worked out with these people, but you found yourself skittish in relationships, playing, as you say, defense more than offense. And then you meet a woman that others maybe would have been intimidated by. And I think your first meeting with her, you were a little bit on guard just because once you've gone through something like that, you do tend to want to walk on eggshells, you know, don't want to be taken wrong. And then the enemy's in your ear. You're too much. You're not enough or whatever. But then the second time you got together with her, you just said, I just was myself, my opinionated, passionate self. And she laughed and she enjoyed you and you found a friend in her. And I think this is really powerful because you said, well, there's other times you took those, where you were yourself. And it didn't go that way. And you said, this is how you find your tribe. This is hugely important. So say a bit more, if you would, about that.
Yeah. So after that season, and it wasn't just that, right? There was a lot of difficulty in my life for about 5 years. Like a dark cloud that I thought was just going to be the rest of my life. But we moved to Dallas a few years ago, and I had to make all new friends. But I walk into that season with a lot of that's a perfect word, though. A long time ago. It was just skittish. I just couldn't readily jump in and trust people. But in moving, I remember God calling me. In fact, I even think I put a post about it online, like open-hearted, just said, I'm going to be open-hearted and I'm not going to be so guarded. And so I moved because I knew I needed friends. And so that sweet friend, yes, I was so intimidated by her. And yet she's turned out to be one of my dearest friends, but it took me being open-hearted and being all of who God made me to be quickly, which I encourage people to do, because sometimes, yes, you may get shut down. Sometimes that person is not drawn to you, but you need to know that fast so you can move on and find somebody that needs a friend like you. And I think the two of us balance each other out so well. In fact, she is often my accountability because I'm kind of you know, all over the place sometimes, and she's very disciplined, which made her intimidating to me, very structured, very calm. And I think we play off each other well and bring strength to each other.
Hmm. This is so important, and I don't want people to rush by this too fast because, again, I think this is more so with women than men, but maybe not. But we want to be liked by everybody. And we, you know, things can get into our hearts and souls so quickly, but you can't become who God wants you to be without a few people in your inner court who know the real you. So if we are living guarded constantly and thinking nobody would love me if they really knew me, those kind of thoughts put us on defense and we react in fear. And I want to just read this. We just got about 3 minutes or so left, but this is so powerful. You say, when you take every thought captive and reclaim your thinking patterns from the lies of the enemy, you are set free to set others free. In a very real way, your thoughts can change the world. It starts in your head. And from there, the possibilities are endless. I want you to cast a vision because I'm picturing friends listening right now going, okay, that is me. I'm more guarded than I am open-hearted. My thoughts are so self-berating. I mean, and yet God has this invitation. He has so much more. The world needs their influence. So cast a vision, if you would.
Well, I do think we tend to get more free for other people. Like we, I wish it was just for our own freedom, but I do think, especially as women, we are so motivated for our kids. We are so motivated for the women we love and want to minister to disciple. We want them to be free, so we've got to get free too. So this is a call for us to be, one, in constant communion with God, because when God is filling our minds, all of the junk shows up and we know that it's junk. When we are in the Word of God, when we are with the people of God. So I just want to say this is worth it, not just for your mental health. That is so important to God and so precious to Him. He wants that for you, but also for all of the people you know. I mean, we want to be those people that in our 80s, if we get to live that long, are full of joy and not bitterness. And whatever we allow in our minds is going to be who we become. That's scripture. That's Proverbs. Mm-hmm. As a man thinketh, so he is. So we want to be those people that are full of joy and full of hope and full of the love of God. And I think that the way the enemy is getting us is he is constantly lying and we're not fighting back. So it is a call to fight back. It is a contagious thing. Joy is always contagious. So is negative thoughts. But joy is also contagious and we can fight back with it.
Mm-hmm. So you've been in ministry a number of years now. When you look at some of the twists, turns, highs, lows, anything about this journey has surprised you?
Oh, anything about the journey that hasn't surprised
me? That's a better question. Sorry.
Everything. But I do believe, I think the reason my friend Ann said, Jenny, you do believe in God, is because she's had a seat next to me on the front row of miracles. I have seen the power of God. I am not confused. I am not doubting any longer. Like, I know that our God is real and that this story is going to go on forever. And if anybody is listening and wondering, gosh, is this life all there is, which is me for 18 months, I just want to say this life is not all there is, that there is a God that loves you, that sees you, that has a plan for you. There's also an enemy that wants you not to believe that. Mm-hmm. And so this storyline is the storyline of Earth. It is the storyline of God on Earth working.
Yeah.
And we are the prize, right? Like that is clear that the enemy is fighting to kill, steal, and destroy what? God's people and our faith. And so we fight back and we destroy strongholds and we demolish any argument that's lifted up against the knowledge of God, because we have the power to do that. The God-given, Jesus bought with the blood of the cross, power to do it.
You know, there's a day of account coming, and we can't stand before God as Christians and point to our critics to say, this is why I buried my talents. You know, we can't say, well, it was just hard. And some may say that, but this is a day of wrestling and reckoning, because how we live here does echo into how we live there. And this is why I love fighters like Jenny, because we need to awaken the church. We have to activate our faith, and we all got to wrestle. And we're all in a battle, but overwhelming victory belongs to us because we belong to Him. Jenny Allen, we sure love you, and I thank you for being a fighter. Thank you for writing this book, and thanks for giving us your time today.
Thanks, Susie.
Love and appreciate you. Jenny's book, Jenny Allen, her book, Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. So grateful. We got 5 copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Hey, and if you have guest ideas, we always want to hear them. So you can email me middays@myfaithradio.com. And a shout out to my amazing producers, Kim Sanders and Ryan Mitchell. They're just fantastic. So if you ever want to send an email to give them a great thanks, I would sure love that. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.